2 of Drunk on Comics, where we plan on chasing leprechauns through the streets. To my Irishman, Aaron Gobra.
I like leprechauns. I'm a fan.
Little man said to burn things.
Hey guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks Kevin. I'm Derek. Our leprechaun lover is Tony.
Yo.
As long as, well, but it's friendly love. It's not like Jerry Springer love.
Exactly. YOLO.
I had no idea until this week it was actually St. Patrick's Day.
Really?
Tomorrow. But of course, there was a 1 day period where I thought it was today.
There's St. Patrick's Day, then there's St. Practice Day.
There's just different days to say you need a drink.
Yeah, and then there's the PMS to St. Patrick's Day, which is 2 days prior to it.
There's halfway to St. Patrick's Day, which is halfway around the calendar.
Yeah. Well, there's just a lot of reasons to go drink, so.
Okay. Well, and for our international listeners, because I'm pretty sure that it's a made-up American holiday to just drink.
No, I think what it is it's an Americanized blasphemy of probably what it really was, and we're just like, let's go get drunk and pretend we're Irish.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what the Irish would be doing celebrating, so I don't know how much of a blasphemy it is.
Well, yeah, but see, I think it's more of the blasphemy of the fact that we're like, let's go get pissed. I drink as much as I can. You know, I mean, seriously, who needs to go start drinking at 7 a.m. on that day and have green eggs and ham?
I know, that's complete bollocks.
That's, there you go! Tony said it right!
Blimey.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's bullshit. You think about it, the fact that green eggs and ham, because that's Irish, you know.
Or green beer is natural. Yeah. Everything green.
Yeah. I mean, no. How about some, you know, we have some shepherd's pie and drink some Smittix and shut the fuck up. You know, that'd be a good Irish holiday. But anyway.
Shutting up? What?
Yeah, I'm just going to say I love that there's a holiday that celebrates Irishness. I'm part Irish.
You just like the holidays that celebrate drinking. You pretend that you're Polish on Pulaski days, too.
I'm Polish, too. I'm part of everything. I'm everything when there's a holiday that counts for it.
If there's beer involved, you're part of it.
Chinese New Year? Oh, yeah, that's me.
Mother's Day, you're rocking it out.
All right, guys. Well, this is our podcast, Drunk on Comics, about comic books, conventions, all other drunkly debacles of douchebaggery.
Yeah, good alliteration there.
Yeah,
douchebaggery? Is that going on right now?
Well, it's going to be later when we go out drinking just for the hell of it, because you have to drink today and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good practice.
Yeah. So, anyway, welcome. My name's Derek. Like I said, we got Kevin, we got Tony. We're going to get things kicked off here, finally, into Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf, once again, is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con, happening May 17th through the 19th in Novi, Michigan, at the Suburban Collection Showplace. Go check them out, MotorCityComicCon.com. Find them on Facebook, find them on Twitter. If you didn't hear it, we put up a special convention edition podcast here earlier in the week, so go check that out. You can hear a lot more about their show there, as well as kind of some of our tips and tricks. So, warning.
There's spoiling coming up.
There's spoiling coming up.
Yes, spoiling like old haggis left out after an Irish drunken fest.
Haggis is a Scottish.
Like, Reuben. Then.
Yeah, alright, so yeah. No, we are going to talk about things that happened in this week's book, so if you don't want to hear them, before you read your books, hit pause, go read them, come back. Otherwise, you've been warned. So, Tony.
Put me on the spot. So I decided to pick something completely different, but yet something that I've also talked about. I picked up Mars Attacks number 8.
So this is just regular Mars Attacks?
Yeah, just regular Mars Attacks.
Not Mars Attacks meets Barbie.
Wait, does Mars Attack the number 8?
Yes.
It would be an epic battle. A page turner. For the ages.
Or for the 8-year-olds.
Anyways, when you go to your local comic book shop, the front cover is kind of funny. It's got a Martian with a heart next to a human, and it's like, oh, this might be a love story. It also comes with a little free card.
What kind of free card?
A little Martian card. Like, you know, the back and the old gum packs and everything.
Okay.
So that's what kind of intrigued me about the book was the heart. And I was like, is this going to be a love story? Well, it kind of was. The story is written by John Layman, art by John McCrea, colors by Andrew Elder. They obviously, this is number 8 in the series. It's continuing what's been going on with the war of Martians attacking Earth. But it follows a character named Blix. He pretty much, in the beginning it says how humans with destruction and destroying and everything are the reason why Martians are attacking. At least that's their propaganda there. He's not really sold on it. Throughout it, they see nice, cuddly, like, puppies and people holding hands going through a park. Like, there's a whole splash page of that. And then the next page is them just destroying them. That's what I love a lot about the Mars Attacks books, is it's just wanton destruction.
Yeah. You do like blowing shit up.
Yeah, Transformers, giant fucking robots destroying.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, what's so great about Transformers? It's shit blowing up!
It's the only thing Michael Bay's got going for him, is blowing shit up. But he still ruined Transformers. Anyways, so Blix, this Martian, befriends a human. Actually, this human comes out and says that he'll help them get these ray guns, which I guess were in the previous issue, that pretty much are destroying the Martians so that the humans have a chance to attack back. So they become friends, they help each other out, and then, of course, there's the double cross at the end where the human captures all the Martians, kind of tells them, no, I'm going to fucking let you live. And betrays them, in which case then Blix goes ape shit and realizes, oh, humans do suck, and then blows off this human's head. So, like I said, it's just random fun. Like, there's a giant splash page in there, too, I forgot to mention, halfway through the comic where this Martian Blix is like, maybe we can live together in harmony. And you see this giant humans and Martians holding hands while giant robots are in the background.
Are there like dancing robots? Because that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I'm going to imagine that even though it was a still frame that he was dancing, he was just in the middle of his shot doing the robot.
Oh, I was thinking he'd be like doing the Roger Rabbit. You know, because I could never do the Roger Rabbit, so I would like to see robots.
When's the last time you tried?
Or
probably yesterday, honestly. Like, I've just never given up. I was terrible.
He was doing that new move we learned last night from Chris Hardwick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we should chat about that here in a minute.
That's news. That's the note part of news and notes.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it was a good overall book. I continue to love just the crazy, you don't know what you're going to get out of a book. Like, it pretty much was kind of a heart love story at first until the human was a dick. And you're kind of rooting for these guys, too. You're rooting for the aliens to kind of blow shit up.
Yeah. Cool. So are you going to continue on Mars Attacks?
Yeah, I'll pick them up here and there. I don't have the money to pick them up all the time, but...
Well, it sounds to me like this is like a really good one that you just pick up at random.
Yes, it is something you can just pick up at random. And with the whole when they invaded IDW... Those are fucking just awesome fun. I mean, these are books that are fun to just read.
Yeah, did you guys pick up any of the other ones?
I picked up that whole series.
Oh, okay.
I picked up everything except for the last one, which was the
Versus Robots.
Yeah, Zombies Versus Robots or whatever the hell that...
They're good. I'll let you borrow them.
Yeah. Kevin, what you got?
All right. Well, guys, I'm still a little heartbroken over my comic, right? Superman Family Adventures. I can't endorse this enough. It's a great read, regardless if you're 5. I don't know. Do you start reading at 5?
It's fun for ages 8 through 80.
Happy birthday, 81. This isn't as fun as it used to be.
Happy birthday, 7-year-old. I don't get it.
Well, so they canceled this, but there's still a few issues coming out. Actually, I just brought it over 9 to illustrate.
The fact that you're holding on dearly.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes me smile, and it's sad that there's only a couple more issues left. So I'm looking around to find a nice, wholesome comic that just makes me smile and
giggle and.
Yeah, giggle. Actually, that's
and feel warm in your pants, but not like you peed.
Yeah. So I picked up a couple of books today. Or actually, I picked them up yesterday. Digital downloads. So I picked up Mega Man 23 by Archie Comics. Okay, now did you guys ever play Mega Man?
But is that issue 23 or the 23rd Mega Man game?
No, it's book? Like issue 23.
Okay.
I didn't know they were doing a Mega Man comic.
So yeah, I was surprised. You know, they're still making a Sonic, and what was interesting is that I'm thinking to myself, okay, who the fuck is reading this?
You're buying it,
as I'm reading it myself, and then actually at the end, there's some really good art at the end from people. There's like a submission from Chile, L.A., another part of the world.
Well, 8-bit is worldwide. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, but I really like the games, and I only played up to, from the Nintendo version, up to like 5, a few Super Nintendo games, a few games for the Advance. So I'm like, well, maybe Mega Man would start filling my hole.
That game always gave me like a... Wow.
Oh my gosh, I threw it up there and you guys just watched it fall to the ground. I was waiting for you to hit it out of the park, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just smash it right back into the hole.
Okay. So when I downloaded this, of course, I thought I'd get like, ooh, Mega Man. And then a special bonus was on the front cover, it said Worlds Collide 1. Like, and it shows a small image of Sonic and a small image of Mega Man. I'm like, oh, cool, this is going to be a crossover. So I get through the whole damn thing thinking like, okay, is this Sonic? Where's Sonic? And then, no, fuck, I had to reread it. And it says, Worlds Collide in 1. So it's basically, so I look up some old issues. This is a big countdown series leading up to a big event. So, of course, when that happens, really, the story's kind of meh. But anyway, so a quick, if you're not familiar with Mega Man, so the Cliff Notes versions, it's the year 20XX.
20XX.
Yes. Leaving it open.
For that XXX there?
So theoretically, it could be 2002.
I guess. I guess they're just trying to leave it open-ended, but of course they're going to fail if the series goes on for another 70 years. Should have been XXX. Anyway, okay, so you have a smart lab guy. His name's Dr. Light. He created a bunch of robots. One of them happened to be called Mega Man. And he has Dr. Light has a counterpart, Dr. Wily. And
why is Dr. Light's counterpart not Dr. Dark?
You know what? I'm going to blame that on poor translation. Because, you know, this game originally came from Japan.
Yeah.
It was called Rockman, and now it's Mega Man.
It was called Rockman?
Yes.
He threw rocks at people?
No. It was the same game. It was just when they brought it over here, Rockman, they didn't think it was going to be marketable. So
I like to rock!
Well, wasn't Pac-Man something similar to that?
No, you're thinking of Jumpman.
No, Pac-Man was Puck-Man.
Puck-Man.
Oh, okay.
But if you erase a part of the P there, it becomes Puck-Man.
That's why they changed
it. Okay. No, see, I'm thinking of Donkey Kong. It was originally called Jumpman.
Oh.
And then right over here was called...
Those zany translators.
Yeah. We'll talk translations later. Finish this up.
I thought we were going to talk about trannies later.
There's nothing wrong with my car.
So this particular issue, one of Dr. Light's first robots, Crash, he abandoned the world. He said, fuck the world. And he walked away, came back, and now he's... several years later, Mega Man is now a big, huge celebrity. in this world. Interviews and chicks and dog sleds. And so now he sees all this, and now he's coming back, and he's like, I was the first creation of Dr. Light.
And so he's a jealous little bitch.
Yeah, I think so. Now, of course, Dr. Wily's kind of influencing him, like, you know, dude, that should be you, man. Go get the gold. So, okay. Anyway, so the art's solid on this. I give it a 9 out of 10. A lot of solid, funny moments. A lot of really cool nods to the game in the background and some of the sayings. Like, his name is Mega Man. He references Mega Man, but then they nickname him. He throws out, people throw out his nickname, Rock.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little tribute. Some really cool things in the background. Action panels, really nice. Tony would appreciate the action panels, and I'll show you those later.
Ship being destroyed?
Just robots.
Okay, that's cool.
So, though the story was fair to Midland, it was...
Fair to Midland.
I'll have to explain that one in a separate post.
Yeah, it was... Wasn't quite full on Saginaw or Bay City or Flint.
Oh, dude. People who are not in Michigan are not laughing.
Right? I know. Well, people that are in Michigan aren't laughing because I'm not funny. So,
it was interesting enough to the hook to go into the series, this cross series between Sonic and him. I think it might be good enough to maybe try again.
Cool.
But,
overall, Kevin grade.
All right, yeah.
Nice.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I was a little shocked to hear you say art was 9 out of 10. I was like, that's like legitimate numbers coming out of you. That
I know. I thought I
you can quantify up. That.
I thought I'd grow up a little bit today.
Yeah, fuck
and
that.
Of course, I say that, and I smoked a little bit of a blunt on the way over here.
That's awesome. All right, so this week I've got The Walking Dead number 108 from Image Comics. Tony, spoiler warning.
I know, I forgot to fucking read it last night.
Yeah, so this is written by Robert Kirkman. Art is by Charlie Adlard, and the gray tones are by Cliff Rathburn. I always have a problem saying his name. So in this issue, it seems that the story is finally progressing again, kind of rather than showing only the repercussions of previous actions and events. However, you do see a little bit of Carl struggling still from losing his eye. And he actually almost gets bitten by a zombie due to him not seeing the walker attacking him from his blind spot.
Be the greatest thing happened in this comic book.
I got a feeling that Carl's going to die here at some point, or Carl will become just a really badass, but like, I can see him splitting off different factions.
If he comes off badass, cool, but I hate his... I'm in a post-apocalyptic world, so I'm not going to listen to directions, and I'm just going to run off where there's zombies. Yeah. How stupid can you be?
Yeah. Well, he's a brat. Dad should have beat him more when he was young, I think. So, but there is actually one nice little moment in here, though, with Carl, where Michonne tells him, you know, you'll learn to live with your disability, basically relating that, hey, look, your dad's got one hand, and he's managed to get along just fine. So, now...
So that's okay to have half a skull.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, your dad's badass, and he's got one hand. You have a... Well, you could get skull fucked, and that's fine. So... Now, the main arc of this story is Jesus taking Rick to the kingdom, and they're going to meet with the self-proclaimed King Ezekiel, who, honestly...
And that's the guy on the cover?
Yeah. Reminds me a lot of George Clinton from Parliament Funkadelic.
Yes. Absolutely he does.
Yeah.
He needs more streamers in his head.
He just needs more hair. Color to his... I'm guessing hair dye is probably hard to come by in the zombie apocalypse. but King Ezekiel has a tiger, which is one of the funniest damn things in there, because like when he walks out, he's got this tiger, and Jesus turns to Rick, and I think all it was in there was him just going, oh yeah, he has a tiger. It's just really nice. There it is. Yeah, I think I forgot to mention Ezekiel has a tiger.
That's badass.
Yeah. So, you know, they the reason for Jesus and Rick going there is to hopefully join forces between their encampment and the kingdom, because they want to try to attack and take down Negan and the Saviors. Now, the twist in the story is that while Jesus and Rick are talking to Ezekiel, you find out that Dwight, the guy with the half-burned-off face, mm-hmm. That's one of Negan's soldiers, he's there.
Oh.
And supposedly he's there for the same reason. Now, just like every single one of these damn books, you never know if you can trust him, if his story's true or not, because, you know, it's true, like, the character of Dwight does have legit reason to want to take Negan down, because Negan is banging his wife, and he did stick a hot iron onto Dwight's face after he caught the two of them together. So, there is reason, but...
Do you find that now there's another encampment with another leader? Like, what happened to the Hilltop?
Oh, well, Hilltop's still there.
But yet, now there's Negan's faction, then now there's this other mystical, like...
Well, they kind of talk about the fact that there are other little encampments all over the place.
Okay.
And this one's very, very cool. Like, you don't just go walk in there, you have to be invited in. They have people riding horses that have... Kind of looks more like hockey pads, but they do have armor.
Okay.
You know, and so it's like, it is a kingdom, if you will. It's just very, very interesting. But, you know, the thing is that whenever it comes to these damn books, you don't know what Kirkman's doing with the story until he wants you to. And even then, he'll probably fuck with our heads a little bit and go, here's what I'm doing. And then I'm like, no, I'm not.
Sure, I'm sure it's not until he takes pen to paper that he doesn't know what he's doing either.
Sometimes it kind of feels that way. But, you know, then again, that is part of the fun of reading this book. So just quickly, though, I am happy to see that there's a new plot twist in this book. And Tony, you're in the same boat as I am, because you and I were like two of the last people to jump on board with this comic that had jumped on board. In fact, you and I both read the first 96 issues or 16 trade paperbacks, you know, before we started reading monthly. And I gotta say, it's still awesome at this point. The hardest part
is waiting each month. Fucking book ends, and then you're like, no, it shouldn't end here.
Yeah, when you basically got to read 96 fucking issues back to back.
It was a straight story. You didn't even know where one began and one ended. But honestly, I could have put a piece of paper, stuck, you know, open a book, and I'd be like, oh, this is where they probably ended that book at, because
there's a big picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a splash page. You know, but yeah, it is a bitch waiting monthly now.
Do you guys have the small volumes or the big omnibus?
The small, the 6-issue per.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Can't really say a whole lot about the art, just because it's so synonymous with the story at this point that it gets overlooked at times. But the art is still, you know, solid as ever. So it's the easiest two mugs up I've given in a while.
So I wanted to do something maybe different now. Whenever we talk about Walking Dead, you know how it ends on a panel. What do we predict the next page will be? How did this one end?
This one... I gotta open it up. Derek reads his comics on air. This one, actually, I was surprised, didn't end with a giant splash page. But it ended with Dwight, you know, saying that he's gonna bring them Negan's head on a silver platter. And, you know, he doesn't care if they trust him or not, because that motherfucker's gonna be dead. And then you see George Clinton smiling, and you see Rick and Jesus looking lovingly at each other.
All right, I'm seeing the next big page in the next book is going to be a giant splash page of them all just dying laughing, like, because they look like they're about to burst off into laughter.
I can see that, but only if they're jumping up in the air like 1980s chip style freeze frame.
Almost like trying to do a high five.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got one guy in the back who's belly laughing, leaning back and pointing at the other guy going, ha, 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 ha. You know, that's probably the captain.
Well, we will wait till next month to see.
All right. Well, that does it, I think, for Off the Shelf. One last reminder, guys, please go check out MotorCityComicCon.com and see about all the fun shit that's going to be happening here this May. Kevin, did you diddle your long box?
No, I did not. No, I figure, man, there's a lot of news and notes to talk about.
There is a lot of news and notes. Should we start with notes, Tony?
We could start with notes, and then we can go into news.
Yeah, notes. We're the bomb diggity, yo. That's part of my notes. Actually, that's all my notes.
Okay.
Well, why you're just restating facts?
Well, I know, but I just thought I'd say it.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
A little reassurance is always good.
On a separate note, we had a blast last night. Went and saw a live recording of the Nerdist podcast. It's not quite as big of a deal as ours yet, but those guys are growing.
Yeah, I can see people starting to listen to them a little bit. They had something with their group that just clicked.
Yeah, it was really nice. So, no, the great thing is that, you know, they're actually a hell of a lot filthier than we are.
Oh, for sure. We look like we are like not PGG even.
Yeah. Compared to a lot of the stuff that goes on.
And it was in a church.
That was the best part. Now, granted, that's the most liberal church I know of, but still, it was in a church, and I heard some words that I'm not even comfortable saying on our podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed they had this live Twitter feed before they took the air, and some of the comments on that thing, those were very... very raunchy.
Oh, yeah. There was one that's like, you're in my house, motherfucker. like, be careful about my shit. I don't remember what it was, but there were some really, really offensive ones actually on there.
It was great, too. We had fourth row, so we were right up in the action.
Yep. Chris Hardwick came right by Tony's seat looking for a question, and Tony drooled on himself a little bit and couldn't say anything.
Yeah, so. I froze.
I was up in the balcony. Now when they were going around for, they weren't calling it questions.
Clements. Okay. Clements, because it's a comment or a question.
Yeah, and I was surprised to hear how many comments there were, including your girlfriend, Cancer Girl.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, that was just a downer, but were there a lot of people like going, ooh, 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 pick me?
There actually weren't as many as you would think. You would think everyone in the crowd would be like that, but there was select handful of people.
And the people that wanted to ask a question, man, they wanted to ask a question.
Yeah.
They were like the nerdy little kid from The Simpsons, like going, teacher!
That's where it's lost opportunity for us. We totally could have had them, I don't know, help. We could have helped their podcast by them mentioning us on their air.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it worked out. It worked out later. You know, we ended up getting to chat with them a little briefly after the show, and then...
met them at the bar?
Yep, caught up with them at the bar and got to chat. So, you know, might have some stuff in the works for future.
Have a couple interviews with those guys and help them out and spread who they are.
Kind of show them how to do a podcast. Yeah. Now that those guys, they were fucking awesome. It was a blast. So that was the fun.
And we learned dance move.
Oh yeah, dance move. Can't see it, but there's something to do with penises. That's pretty much the main thing. All right. So news, biggest news of the week is that Marvel broke the internet.
Damn them.
Yeah.
Were you guys part of the problem?
I was.
It really? Because
I tried to be.
Yeah, I did. You know, I didn't know about this until the next day.
Really?
Yeah.
I even sent an email to you guys.
See, but that shows you how, like, once the weekend begins, they kind of take disconnect myself from email, because that's all I do at work all the time.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I managed to get roughly about 170 comics.
No shit.
Yeah. Now, what the...
I got roughly that times zero.
Maybe just a few more times zero? Yeah. Yeah. Now, I went on, and I was able to get on there, and I was only going after ones that I knew I wanted to read. Like, I was surprised how many people...
Well, maybe we should stop talking cryptically and let listeners know this was the Marvel free number one downloads.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you.
They're going to be like, oh, what are they getting? What are they downloading? What?
I want free.
Yeah, no, they're free 700 number ones. I went on there and, you know, I was like, if I was truly interested in it, I said, yeah. I was surprised how many people went on there.
So you didn't download Moon Knight number one?
No. Well, and I didn't... There were actually a lot of them. It's like, yeah, I have that, but I'm not interested in rereading that. If I had an interest in rereading it, I would download it. But, you know, I just...
Greedy bastards, they're the ones.
There actually were a lot of people that went on and got everything. Just everything.
Well, I think it was also bad... I don't know. Well, obviously bad playing on Marvel's part, but... Still, 700, do they not know what, you know, fanboys who live in their parents' basement because they can barely afford rent are going to do with the word free? They're going to download all of them. And they should have gone out in either smaller spurts of what comics came out.
Now, Tony, let me ask you. You love free shit.
Yeah.
Would you have just downloaded all 700 right there?
No, because there's shit like Captain Marvel that I would not have picked up.
How long did it take for you to download 160?
Well, I wasn't even on the Wi-Fi at the time that I did it. I got the 3G on my tablet.
Okay.
And I...
Yeah, but it's still a pretty decent download rate, but just the whole clicking start.
I mean, I would have downloaded some things that I never probably would have read before to be interested in. Yeah. I was more interested in the old school titles, though.
There weren't a whole lot of the old school.
Really? I thought there was a lot of back issue ones that were originals, because those would have been cool to read, because you can't see those ever unless you got...
Really? Because that's what I thought what they would have shown are, like... You would have gotten...
the classic Silver Age shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a few. There just weren't as many as I thought. And I did get X-Men, Avengers, Fantastic Four, I think Spider-Man. Yeah, I mean, I got like a couple. But, I mean, it's not like... There weren't as many of those as I really, really would have liked. But whatever. But, yeah, it was interesting. Hopefully... listeners got their request in, because what they were saying is, get your request in, even if you get a download error, you'll be fine. And that's what happened to me. It was like 2 days later, I went in and I was able to download all the stuff and I didn't have to pay for it. Where this really fucked up and pissed people off, though, is that Marvel crashing the Comixology app really affected other retailers as well, or other publishers, on their sales. And there was one of them I know that basically would not be named, but said, yeah, this has affected us financially fairly significantly.
Is that DC?
Probably.
That's why I'm just waiting for DC to come out with this again, or now. Ooh, that seemed interesting. They got a lot of news. Let's break the internet, too.
Yeah, but it'll probably be like the... We're going to do 800. Marvel can't do 700. We're going to prove that we can do 8. Oh. So, all right. That was definitely the biggest news.
Actually, I'm just now thinking that. 700 number one issues. That's a lot of fucking different series.
Yeah.
Just imagine the many... started and then stopped and then started again.
But there was a lot of X-Men that I got that were X-Men miniseries.
Oh, okay.
So...
I guess, yeah, those are number ones.
Yeah, everybody loves number ones, Tony. All right, what do you guys got for something else?
Oh, man. So, the same company that has brought you... Barnum and Bailey's Circus.
Oh, yeah.
Disney on Ice is now going to bring you a Marvel-based arena show.
Yeah.
Featuring the likes of Spider-Man, Hulk, Thor, blah, 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 blah.
Do you know what's funny is my dad sent me a text about this. My dad's 69 years old, which is awesome.
How often does he text?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
See, but your dad is hip. He's hip. He's got that nice Jeep, and
Yeah, with the 20 inch.
He's got 20s on his.
Ted's rolling on dubs.
But no, they're gonna pump a bunch of money into it, and it's probably gonna be this big, huge debacle like Spider-Man Into the Darkness.
Well, yeah, but they've pretty much got that shit worked out now. I mean, like, they've killed 4 or 5 people in that Broadway show now or whatever it is. And, they probably won't kill more than 2 people in this.
But, yeah, I mean, I totally will go, man. I'm gonna grab my nephews. I'm going to grab my friends who have kids.
You don't have any of those. You're just going to go by yourself.
you're going to grab your buddies.
I'm going to grab the longest trench coat I got.
Yeah.
Just to cover up my wood.
that would be very, very cool to go see. I'm excited about that one. Tony, what do you got in your pile of news over there?
All right, something that I very, I don't know, I like is the Evil Dead series. And just announced Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell are going to be making the Evil Dead 4, which is actually going to be the Army of Darkness 2, if you follow the way the series go, because they have that new remake that they just came out with, which has nothing to do with their first ones, but they will still...
Did that other remake already come out?
It just debuted at South by Southwest, and actually, there's really good reviews on it.
Okay.
So I'm actually very positive about that, because, I mean, the originals were supposed to be horror, but they turned into, like, funny horror.
Especially the second one. The second one kind of turned into more of a little bit of a spoof.
And then Army of Darkness was just Army of Darkness. Boomstick. Made and manufactured in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Ah! Yeah, they made that in chairs.
Yep.
Grand Rapids made chairs.
I guess another.
Oh, there's just a really uncomfortable pause there for no reason.
Well, I was thinking about chairs and my love is my obsession with them.
Yeah. And I'm sitting in one right now.
Yeah. Okay. Sad news for people that are Nightcrawler fans. It was reported earlier in the week that Nightcrawler was going to be in the new X-Men movie, and that's been denied. But I do really love the picture in this article. Rather than put the red circle with the line through it crossing out Nightcrawler, it's like the X through him, like the X-Men. Clever.
Well, 2 people that were picked up for X-Men Days of Future Past, Colossus. It's the same person that played Colossus in the X2 movie.
Sweet.
And Blink. Now, they haven't necessarily said who will be playing Blink, but I guess she's going to have a role. Which, with this huge cast that they're doing for this movie, I'm starting to, I don't know, get lost in the hype of, oh, this person's going to be in it, this person's going to be in it. But I just don't see that working as far as the story, unless these are cameo appearances. I don't see these being true.
I got a feeling that they're going to be small appearances, you know.
Please be the case, because once I saw Anna Paquin, I'm assuming that she's going to be Rogue, my interest quickly did a Greg Louganis.
You really dislike her.
No, I do not like her.
Yeah, like I said, you really dislike her.
And you said, no, I do not like
Confirmed,
her.
Confirmed, I do not like her.
I think there's a personal reason partially involved in that, though.
No, I actually never really cared for her teeth before my friend started to see someone that looked exactly like her.
Yeah, yeah. Other people that have not been, like, that they've talked about that could have been brought back for this, Pyro, I'm the Juggernaut Bitch, which I'm...
Wait, I didn't see that. They're actually going to...
No, these are just people that they said have not been mentioned that were in previous that could have...
Let's hope that's the case, because the Juggernaut was a joke. A joke!
Yeah. Well, you're also the harshest critic on Juggernaut, although not quite as bad as the fact that Psylocke was in X3.
She was?
That's what they called her.
I blocked that movie from my head.
Yeah.
My head.
Kelsey Grammer's rendition of Beast hasn't been mentioned, you know, so Angel, Toad, you know, those are just some other people that were in previous. You know, they haven't mentioned Sabretooth. And I would love to see the original Sabretooth, the guy that looked like
Sabretooth. Oh, yeah, that looked like... I don't even know who that guy was, but he was Sabretooth.
He was some pro wrestler. But anyway, yeah, that's enough on that. What else you guys got?
Oh, man, so a previous comic that I reviewed here, Insurgent, canceled.
Yeah.
I did a quick review of 1 and 2, and actually I...
And they canceled it after issue 3.
After 3.
Well, they didn't want you talking about it anymore.
apparently, my review killed it.
Well, you know, the joke is that it's not a week unless DC cancels something. So,
what's next, do you think?
Well,
Earth 2?
I don't know.
Dial Z or whatever?
Well, this is rumor, mind you. Rumor on the interwebs and on the wire, if you will. Yeah,
was that your Telegraph impersonation?
Yeah, which, by the way, Telegraph killed the Pony Express, so Telegraph hates ponies. That's all I'm saying.
The logical conclusion.
Yeah.
Telegraph killed the Pony Express. They have a song about that and everything.
No, they don't. Oh. And they really shouldn't. All right, so anyway, there's rumors.
Kevin's dying.
No one's going to get what that means.
it was clever what he attempted to do with the video killed the radio star, but yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Moving
on. Yeah, the rumor mill is that DC might be having some weekly comics coming back. And like one of the things that somebody had mentioned is that they will be canceling 16 monthly issues to replace it with 4 weekly. You know, which is still the same number of comics coming out total.
Well,
per week.
I'm just kind of surprised that they're doing that because Superman, now in the late 90s, and that's what they did. They just basically they had. A weekly series.
Yeah, they had Action Comics Weekly, I think.
No, well, actually what it was all the Superman titles just tied in one right after another.
Oh.
And they did that for like eight, nine years. And they're like, and then eventually they looked at the sales and were like, all right, we gotta mix it up. So they broke up the 4 comics into now monthly issues because the continuity was... I guess hurt in sales,
yeah.
Between the titles, so I don't know. I guess you gotta keep on trying new things.
Yeah. Speaking of Superman, but not trying new things, DC has indefinitely shelved the Orson Scott Card Superman story, which we've talked about. So I'm kind of glad because I'm tired of talking about it.
Yeah, I'm still indifferent. I mean, I still think. As a writer, although it infuriates me, the personal stuff, I can look at a story as a story and not necessarily from the person. Like, you know, let's just say, Derek, you wrote an amazing story. I'd be like, holy shit, I know that guy. There's no way this could be you, but
well, here
the story is the story.
Let me ask you this. If you knew the guy was a pedophile, would you go buy it?
No.
So, that's the question that I've said. I mean, like, at what point do you draw the line? You know, I guess it depends on how vehemently you are against what their beliefs are. So, yeah. That's it. It's,
I just want to go to the comic book store and just pick up something. I don't really, you know, I don't want to hear about any of this stuff.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, no, but I just want a good read. Yeah.
Maybe they'll continue Superman Family Fun Adventures.
They should. It's a award winning.
Well, you know, here's
it should be award winning. Anyway.
Well, we can say that it is the best family comic that we've read.
It's actually written by a couple Eisner Award winners.
No, I'm not surprised on that at all, though. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, what little bit I've seen of it, actually, it is a fun comic. I mean, we enjoy teasing you about it, but there's no legitimacy to the teasing. other DC news, if Superman Family Adventures was to stick around for a while, there's a chance that in the future it could be for one issue called Lex Luthor Family Adventures Number 1.
That would be sweet.
Yeah. There's, once again, more rumor and speculation that they're talking in September that during that month, DC may retitle all of their issues as number ones, but rather than the hero's name, it'd be the villain's name. So,
but then that doesn't... You'd have to then pick who the greatest villain of that person is.
Well, you just have to pick the one that you want to tell the story of.
That's true. It'd be great if it actually was perspective of the villain. That'd be badass.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, it's like you're going to have, like, say, Riddler number one. You're going to have Lex Luthor number one. You're going to have Tartar Sauce number one for Aquaman because he's afraid of that. That's his enemy, isn't it?
Well, I was drifting off into space. I was thinking about, what is that one chick from Super Friends that, you know, she had this magic powder and she grew really tall next to Apache Chief? It was Apache Chief's
arch nemesis. Nook Chuck.
Yeah. who was that? Who was that tall ass broad?
Apache woman.
No. She was just a white girl that had like this caveman cape on.
Are you thinking of, oh shit, what the hell was his name? Captain Caveman? Dude,
didn't he wear an ascot?
Captain Caveman?
No.
Yeah, sometimes he did, actually. Yeah. Which is weird, because, like, yeah.
Why would a hairy beast need to be wearing clothing?
Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah, so there's a lot of rumor and speculation. I got one more thing. Tony, you got anything else hiding in your pile?
Yeah, just Guardians of the Galaxy. They're eyeing Dave Bautista to play Drax, which out of any picking a person on their looks compared to comic book character, this is just uncanny resemblance.
Well, Bautista was a big motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him in a while, but for those that aren't familiar... Dave Bautista was a pro wrestler in the WWE.
Yeah, and since Drax doesn't talk a whole lot...
What was his stage name?
Bautista.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not that hip on wrestling, but at least I know at least some of the main guys.
I'm guessing it was 4 or 5 years ago that he was wrestling, and it's like...
But, I can, even though most wrestlers can't act the greatest... I can see this being a win for the comic book because Drax doesn't talk a lot and they don't need Bautista to really act. He just needs to smash things.
Well, and okay, now, which one is Drax?
Drax the Destroyer? He's the bald-headed, giant, muscular guy. They had the mini issue out on him.
Yeah, I just got that downloaded here the other day, finally. No, I'm just kind of curious because if there's going to be CG over his face at all, you can always just make his mouth move to whatever you want it to and have somebody else say it.
True.
So, all right, so Warner Brothers, out of the goodness of their heart...
Man, they are so generous.
Yeah, they gave the Smithsonian over 30 items from their movies.
That was scheduled to go into the dumpster.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, they said, the janitors that work at Warner Brothers Studios said, no, we don't even want that. Yeah, they gave them some movie memorabilia. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. And then I read, and they're like, Batman's mask. And I was like, oh, sweet. No, it's the Clooney mask from Batman and Robin, the fucking movie that had bat nipples. Like, the absolute worst one out of all of the Batman movies ever. They give them that. Christopher Reeve's Superman suit. I was like, oh, that's cool, but no, it's not from Superman. It's from Superman 3. I'm like, okay. Catwoman costume. Awesome. I love Michelle Pfeiffer. No, it's Halle Berry. It's like...
It's funny. So, when I was in L.A., I went to the Warner Brothers Studios, did a tour, and they have a museum in there.
Did they have a whole dumpster of shit out back that nobody free.
Ever I was looking for it. So it's funny, I see they're just giving all this C-list crap to them, but yet their own, of course, their own museum, it's all A-list stuff. You know, the original Michael Keaton shit. And, it was a wonderful museum because actually what you do, you go in there, you surrender your camera, your cell phone. They almost, like, I was kind of disappointed they weren't frisking me. But then you just get to walk around for an hour.
So like, right on the verge of anal probe, but...
Yeah,
like
exactly. But so it's funny, so they got all the A-list stuff, but the Smithsonian gets this shit.
Yeah, oh, well, they gave him some stuff from the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie, because that's so iconic. Yeah, so that's all I got on news.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's take a stroll down... Take a bike ride down the Indy Turnpike?
Well, I'm thinking more of a stroll, like down the post-apocalyptic zombie world Indy Turnpike.
Okay.
But, all right, that wasn't even funny. Can I try that again?
Sure, I am erasing that part. All right, now start over.
Wait, how did that go? Because we aren't erasing that
Dude,
part.
Dude, you should have done that. You should have gone, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-doo.
That's what I was supposed to... Yeah, I didn't mean to go... Supposed to be... different programs I'm running right here.
Oh, my God. We need Jim the intern here because I need a lot more booze than what I got in front of me for this shit. All right, Indy Turnpike. This is our chance to showcase a book that is not from the Big Two. And this week, Indy Turnpike is brought to you by Inter Comics. It's inter-comics.com. They're a UK-based... online comic book retailer. Check them out for all of your comic book needs. Check them out for some fun blogs. And don't worry if you don't live in the UK, they ship worldwide. Their prices are fucking awesome. So go see them, inter-comics.com. This week for the Indy Turnpike, I have Shrugged.
Squared.
Well, it's volume 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shrugged volume 2, number 1. Or Shrugged number 1, volume 2, however you want to say it. From Aspen Comics. Written by Frank Mastromaro, art by Jonathan Marks and Micah Gunnell, and colors by Beth Sotelo. Now, I got the special reserved edition cover, which was also done by Marks. And
was that also a dollar?
It was also a dollar, yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I almost picked this up. But
a dollar was too rich for you?
Well, actually, no. To be honest with you, I opened it up. I'm like, I don't think this is for me.
Oh, that's fair.
So tell me where I was wrong there, man.
So you judged a book by its interior.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so this book centers around a high school senior named Theo who literally has an angel and a devil sitting on his shoulders.
It's one hot angel.
Yeah, she is.
I like her dress.
Yeah. Her name is Ange, as in angel, and his name is Devlin. But they call him Dev, as in, like, devil.
Ha ha. So cute.
Yeah. But the book basically centers around primarily the two of them talking about how to help raise Theo. And they both...
Theo Huxtable?
No.
That's what I was thinking. Get some Jell-O pudding pups.
Please tell me that's your Bill Cosby impersonation.
No, that is not.
That is the worst impersonation.
I have a much better one that I'll share with you guys later.
You're trying to do Theo Huxtable as Bill Cosby.
Theo doing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Fuck you guys.
That sounded more like Rudy anyway, but whatever. So
the googly D that the kids say and stuff.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. All right, so please stop. All right. Oh, my God. So this book is about the Ange and Dev. They're basically trying to help Theo grow up and be the best person that he can be.
Argyle sweaters and stuff.
So is Theo living his normal life, and then you got the hottie on one shoulder, and then the devil on the other shoulder?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
And, you know, they give you a little bit of backstory that of what happened in Volume 1. I didn't read Volume 1, I'll admit that. But clearly this young man has been fighting off otherworldly dangers before, and he defeated them by channeling the powers of Dev and Ange. So, kind of curious to see a little bit about that. Honestly, though, it's a really clever look at that old angel and demon scenario, you know, where, or like one of my buddies that he decided he was going to get tattooed an angel and a demon, or an angel and a devil.
He did it on his shoulder blades?
Yeah, on his shoulder blades. Yeah. So, the characters are well written. The art, I thought, was exceptional.
Cover art, it does look good.
Yeah, well, and that's the same guy that drew the art on the inside. But, you know, that's one of Aspen's trademarks, is fantastic art. It always is. The colors, though, in this are phenomenal, and they honestly are what bring the story to life. The cool part of this story is that you see, like, this other world or dimension where good and evil seem to coexist, kind of like neighboring towns. And there's something clearly amiss in the world that they start to touch on. But for the most part, this book is all set up of this initial story. So for people like myself that didn't read the first volume, you can hop on board right now. And then I think the second issue is where the story is going to really take off.
So is that where they move in with each other?
Who, the angel and the devil?
Yeah.
No, they already live. They basically live together. They're just, you know, on the they're on the same back. They're just different shoulders.
They're on the same apartment floor.
Yeah,
as one another.
Yeah, but now once again, this is part of Aspen's 10 for 10 promotion, meaning 10 comics for a total of $10. So it's kind of hard to pass up this one for a dollar, but apparently it is if you're Kevin.
Yeah, I applaud, you know, Aspen, IDN, Boom for doing
IDW.
Yeah, what did I say? IDN.
IDN.
Yeah,
it's crossed between IDW and IGN.
it's good that they're doing that. Because they need a hook to get people in.
Well, you know, the thing is that, like, Shrugged, if Shrugged Volume 2 came out, I don't know if I necessarily would have tried it. Because I'm like, oh, I didn't read Volume 1. But for a buck, fuck it. I mean, it's a great thing to go try it. You know, just keep your eye out. If Shrugged doesn't sound like it's your thing, there's 8 more books coming from them. Next month, though, is Journey from J.T. Krule, who we talked to him a little while back. So, go pick it up. It's fun. I think you guys might find yourself with a new title. That's it on that one.
I want to jump in. I realized that I didn't give any credits to Mega Man. For the Bot Who Has Everything, that was the title of that particular one. But it's written by Ian Flynn, pencils by Ryan Jampole. I don't know if that, or Jampole. Inks, Gary Martin, colors, Nat Herms.
Okay.
So, gotta give credit to those guys.
Alright, cool.
Again, that was Mega Man 23.
Yeah. Alright, Booze in a Book. You guys ready for some Booze in a Book?
I'm ready for some booze.
Yeah.
Get my practice on.
Yeah. It was it was actually kind of fun because last night when we were talking to the guys from the Mirrorist, I was talking to Matt, Mira. I can't remember which. It's Mira.
Mira.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Mira. Just kind of, we were talking to him just in general about our thing that we do. And we told him, and I told him about the Booze in a Book. And he was very excited about hearing this one. Booze in a Book, this week I got Emily and the Strangers, number 2 of 3 from Dark Horse, which I reviewed number 1 here a month ago, written by Rob Rieger and Mariah Huner. And the art is from Emily Ivy. I'm pairing this with Rum Chata, which if you don't know or aren't familiar with Rum Chata, it's a cream liqueur based on the Spanish drink called horchata. And Rum Chata is made with sweet dairy cream, rum, vanilla, cinnamon, and some other secret sauce that they won't tell me about.
Dude, has that stuff always been around?
No. It's actually only been around for about 3 years.
Okay.
Horchata or Rum Chata?
Rum Chata.
Rum Chata has only been around for about 3 years.
Okay, because I thought it was just going to be one of those things that it's been around for a long, long, long time, and I've never even heard about it until recently.
Yeah, no. It blew up. Apparently, it's made someplace in Wisconsin. And the shit just went crazy. But anyway, this is really, really delicious. Now, like most liqueurs, It has a relatively low alcohol content of only 13.75%, or what is that, 27.5 proof.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about this drink is that you can mix it with almost anything. I do say almost. By the way, Kevin, fantastic with coffee.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
You mentioned a little bit of cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cinnamon. Now, the reason I'm pairing these two together is because, honestly, anybody can enjoy these two things, both the drink and the book. Doesn't matter if you're a beer drinker, doesn't matter if you're a liquor drinker, or even if you're one of those snooty wine drinkers, Rum Chata is fucking awesome. As far as comics, doesn't matter if you like dark, twisted stories, doesn't matter if you only want big shit blowing up, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter if you want like a personal story, this book really does have something for everybody. Now, ultimately, this book reminds me of if one of the Powerpuff Girls grew up, became a rocker chick with a little bit of emo mixed in, and since the Powerpuff Girls were made with sugar and spice and everything nice, seems like if you're going to make something adult out of both of those, you can make Rum Chata and you can make Emily and the Strangers number 2 of 3. So, there you go. You're boozing a book.
All right. Something that we didn't discuss earlier, so I'm just going to veto all you guys and pick the best...
best book, on tap?
Best book cover, art.
Best on tap?
I can call it what I want to. I created this thing. But whatever whatever you say it is...
It cracks me up that you so wanted to do... Hey, listeners, help us out with this. I don't want to take anybody's suggestion but mine.
I'm still coming up with a name. I think next week I might have something different, too. But
no, it's best on tap.
Whatever.
Thanks, Ari.
Anyways,
hey, by the way, Kevin and I love the name that Ari gave it, and so does your brother.
So. Yeah, so...
Oh, wait, you can't use the cover from the book?
Yes, I can.
Oh, my
it
God.
Is, look at how perfect it is. It is a Martian and a human in love. Just like what Matt picked last week.
Yeah, but Matt did not pick something that he reviewed.
Well, what do you have?
Didn't anyone like that flaming pink issue of, what was it, the X-Men book? That came out.
The flaming pink X-Men.
Yeah, I'm digging it up. I forgot which one it was.
I mean, just out of my stack, probably the best cover is the Star Wars cover. Done by Alex Ross that looks like an old school movie poster.
Yeah, that's actually badass.
Yeah, that's way better than your cover. So best on tap this week goes to Star Wars number 3.
Best cover this week goes to Mars number 8.
No, Ultimate Comics X-Men.
Oh. I like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Issue 24.
Well, yeah. I like yours, Kevin, but...
It's pink in it and skeletons and comics.
No, Derek's is better, so.
Yeah, so there you go. Although I do have to admit the Bloodshot cover from variant from Colin Andrusovsky was pretty sweet. I didn't see one on the stands, but I just did like the cover. So that was my runner up. All right, last call, guys. What do you got for besides Superman Family Adventures there?
Fantastic Four, Uncanny X-Men.
And my tablet just puked out, so I have no shout-outs.
obviously, Star Wars. Rocketeer Hollywood Horror, number 2. Avenging Spider-Man. One of the first Thor stories I enjoyed.
You don't enjoy Thor?
I don't enjoy Thor because I hate the fucking font, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Why
did they just write it normal? Just letter it normal?
No, I wish. No, what was Thorvetica? is what Josh from my comic shop deemed it. Avengers Academy number 6.
I was looking at that. Is it still any good?
It's decent.
Are there any more people dead?
Kid Britain just got his head chopped off.
Oh.
Yeah. He got decapitated.
Is he related to Captain Britain? Is like related to them?
I don't remember exactly how that one works. Batman number 18. It was actually it was interesting because, you know...
Looks like Robin's stuffed on the cover.
Well, yeah, he is stuffed in a casket.
Oh, it's a casket? I thought it was
I got the boot issue.
Yeah. I picked up you got the Greg Capullo cover. I got the Andy Kubert. And it was kind of interesting because this is the first Batman that I've read that, that Capullo did not do the art for. Andy Kubert did the stuff on Chapter 1, and Alex Maleev did the stuff on Chapter 2. I loved the art. And I do love Greg Capullo's art, but this was it was kind of nice to have just a little change of pace in there. I don't know if they had anything else. Aliens versus Parker? Kind of interesting. It was recommended to me at my shop.
See, I didn't even know Parker was a thing.
Like the aliens?
No, just, yeah, no. I looked at the I previewed it and I'm like, oh no, it's well, it's Boom. And who has aliens right now? Dark Horse.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't even know Parker was a thing until the movie came out recently.
Yeah.
With
So, no, it was good. I don't know if I'll keep picking it up, but it was nice for a change. So. But that's pretty much it.
No, I do have one shout out to Age of Ultron, Book 2. I mean, nothing. To be honest, nothing much happened with it, but it still gets. I'm still excited for the entire series.
Sweet.
So it didn't do anything to fuck me up in that regards.
Nice. Hey, you know what I just realized? We are basically 2 months from the day away from Motor City.
Celebrate! Wait, let's say that next week, so we have a reason to. We got St. Patrick's Day this weekend, so we can go.
So we need another
reason next week to go out.
So we'll have to tell Motor City to push back their convention a week, so it can be 2 weeks from next week, or 2 months from next week.
A couple days after it's around.
All right, guys, that does it for me.
I'm good.
Let's go drink some green beer.
Awesome. All right, guys. Then on behalf of everyone here at DrunkOn Comics, keep reading those comic books, and we'll be back again next week to talk about them then.
Excellent.
Theo and Rudy, and go get your Jell-O.
Pudding Pops.
See, now that's actually not bad.
It's not good. I'm a man of the night, a real lady's delight. See, my figure was chiseled from stone. One more for the gal, then I'll escort her home. Come last call, I'm never alone. I have a house on the hill with a red water bed that puts you Hefner's mansion to shame. With girls by the pool and Italian sports cars, I'm just here in this dump for the game. So kiss me. Pitiful sight, and I ain't all that bright. I'm definitely not chiseled from stone. I'm a cheat and a liar, no woman's desire. I'll probably die cold and alone. But just give me a chance, cause deep down inside, I swear I got a big heart of gold. I'm a monogamous man, no more one night stand. Come on, honey, let me.